You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Let's save baseball. We're in a rain delay. We're in a rain delay during the MLB playoffs. Let's save baseball. Here's how I want to save baseball. Everybody does crack.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Perfect! We've saved Major League Baseball! The kids are into it again!
On ESPN Kansas City.
We can actually finally talk about the real topic of the day now. Because I'm not going to sound like it. I mean, actually, I should cut myself off. I was going to say that I'm not going to sound like an idiot talking about it. And I still might. But we, the collective of the show, will not. Is this the second time you've been on the show, Johnny?
Yeah, I think it's the second time.
Get real up in that microphone.
Okay, pull
right, it, right pull here?
It, grab the mic and just yank it. You hear now.
Like right here.
Bring it right in. Yeah,
okay.
That's good.
All right. I got it.
You do have a broken microphone, which is not your fault. But we're going to get Johnny real comfortable with this microphone because he's here for the next hour. This is Johnny's second time on the show, but your first time in the show, which is a disgusting way to talk about it. And I think that's how we should do it. You can follow Johnny on Twitter at Carver Johnny, and he's like written one book already. I mean, everybody has one book, like that's not a big deal, but he's writing a second book now. And he announced this on Twitter today about the topic of the day, which is just fantastic. So, Johnny, first, tell people when you got started on this. And you mentioned that you'd been working on this a little bit, I think, last time we talked.
Right.
But tell people why we should care what you think and why you know what you're talking about. And then we're going to get into all the stuff we need to know from today.
Okay, so why would people care about it? I don't know. I mean, they don't have to care about me. That's fine.
Why? We no, damn it. We care about the topic already. Right. We're already saying we care about this topic because the topic is good and interesting and fun and will make me homeless or rich. We'll see. But what do you know that we all don't know already?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on.
You are so welcome.
Yes.
Thank you for driving in.
Yeah, of course.
From Miami all the way. You made great time.
Yeah, I'm in town for a little bit. But yeah, so I'm a student at the University of Miami School of Law, doing a dual degree in just getting my JD and also a LLM in sports law. So I'm a sports law student. I have some experience working for NBA teams and wrote a book called Rankatology, which is based on an algorithm that I created to determine the greatest player in NBA history.
He created an algorithm. Keep going.
Yeah, so anyway.
That's me being your hype man.
Yeah.
Did you create an algorithm? Didn't think so.
He did. Listen up.
Idiot. Go ahead.
Yeah, but anyway, you know, I have some experience working with training some players for the NBA draft. Did that last summer out in Vegas. Worked for the Arkansas men's basketball team for a couple years, and now I'm just a law student trying to focus on that right now. And I've really latched myself onto this whole sports gambling thing because I think it's the future of sports. I think it's going to change the popularity of the sports. It's a huge economic potential impact for not only our country, but sports specifically, like we know. So I think this is a really big deal. I wanted to latch onto it as it was growing. It was something that I didn't quite understand when I got to the University of Miami, and there's still things that I don't understand. But I know that it's a big deal because I get people asking me about it all the time, and you know, I thought about it, and I go, what can I latch myself onto that's growing and important, and this is what I figured out would be best for me.
And I'm glad you did, because now I get to ask you the knee-jerk questions that I have, and then hopefully you'll have some answers for us. Also, if you have any questions for Johnny, you can leave the comment on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page on the video here. You can tweet me at JB Briscoe, or you can tweet at Johnny, at Carver Johnny. And Beards, keep an eye on those as we go throughout if anybody pops up. And Beards, if you have any questions, you have a microphone right there. You can just hop right over to it.
I do have a microphone. Thank you for telling me, Josh.
And we'll eventually talk about the NBA and everything with all your background in all things basketball. And maybe that's the segment that I'll just let Beards sit here and you guys can be basketball nerds together and I'll just hit buttons for you guys. But so let's set the groundwork here real quick. What happened today? And also, what didn't happen today as far as sports gambling and its evolution in the country?
Well, what happened today basically is that the paper, the 10,000-word paper that I wrote a week and a half ago for law school, that just disappeared.
Fantastic. It on fire.
Okay, so the reason that I had written this paper was it was about the incoming decision for the Supreme Court. And so they have this case on their docket, which they just decided today, which was trying to rule whether or not it's basically a bill. It's called PASPA, Okay. The Professional and Amateur Protection Act.
It sounds really plausible.
I'm guessing.
I'm not going to Google it.
I'm just guessing that a lot of people listening in their car are not really interested in what it's specifically called.
No, you're
called.
Good. That clears.
Right. So here's what it is. So in 1992. There was this act that was passed based on lobbying from a senator, I think was in New York, New Jersey, somewhere mm-hmm. around there. His name is Bill Bradley. Mm-hmm. And Bill Bradley played for the New York Knicks in the 70s and felt very strongly about sports gambling specifically being illegal. So mm-hmm. he had this bill passed with the help of the commissioners of all the major sports, mm-hmm. David Stern. I think Bud Selig was already there at the mm-hmm. time. I don't remember if he was the commissioner or not, but it was basically every single commissioner of all the major sports. They all testified, including the NCAA as well, on behalf of the government to try to get this passed. And at the time, it was not very controversial because we had Pete Rose and all those other situations
right.
with sports gambling. So, like, at the time, the connotation about sports gambling, the stigma, was that it's bad. Mm-hmm. We need to get rid of it. You can't litigate or you can't manage integrity issues within sports like mm-hmm. that at the time. That was the thought: keep gambling in Vegas and leave it out everywhere else. We'll just dump all of our problems in Nevada and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what happened was they made a grandfather exception for four states. It was Montana. Okay, so we got – yeah, it's Montana, Nevada. There were two others, mm-hmm. Kind of unimportant. Delaware was one of them. It's not necessarily overly important. They grandfathered those states in because they already had different things in place where they could have sports gambling in their state.
Okay.
And so other than those four states that were basically grandfathered into this rule, sports gambling was illegal everywhere else.
Okay.
So once that happened – sports gambling, it was not something that you could go to your local casino to do. Mm-hmm. It was not something you could do within your individual state. You already couldn't cross states.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to figure out how to explain this.
Possible. I appreciate you explaining this for not law students.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's most of us.
Exactly, and that's something that's really difficult because like, there's even things that I don't understand, but
sure.
I know that you got to kind of simplify it as much as you can.
Yes,
so anyway,
please.
To make it simply, so they basically made sports gambling illegal in the United States except for these four states,
one
of them was Nevada.
Right.
And really, three of them didn't take much advantage of it.
I didn't know there were other states that
Montana
could have been holding sports betting.
Did you know that Montana?
No, I had no idea.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like it would have been great for Montana.
Yeah, no
because
kidding.
Montana has nothing else. Like, hey, what? Like, if you take Vegas out of Nevada, it becomes Montana.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah,
hot Montana.
Yeah,
it becomes
exactly.
It becomes hot Montana.
I lived in Vegas last summer, so I'm very partial to that area.
For
and
sure,
understanding it outside of gambling, it's a great place to live.
Sure.
But anyway, where was I? Okay, so according to
three states didn't follow up on it. Nevada dug in.
So here was one. There was another one that met the qualification of being a grandfather state, and it was New Jersey.
Okay,
they did not take advantage of it at the time. Don't really understand why. That would be you'd probably need to talk to a legal expert. For
uh-huh.
I'm still a law student,
right?
So.
It's fine.
But anyway. They didn't take advantage of it. And then they realized around 2010, 2012 area, they're like, wow, this is a really big business. I mean, this is underground gambling, illegal gambling, mm-hmm. rather, makes, I think, $150 billion
every year.
That's
the number I've heard also, yeah.
Yeah, that's the estimation. Yeah, that's a lot of money. And
yeah.
So, especially when, you know, the economy, we had our issues in 2008. States were trying to figure out, well, where can we make money that mm-hmm. we're not making money now?
Mm-hmm.
And this was a great example of a place that you could do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the same time, in 2014, Adam Silver became the commissioner of the NBA. And one of the first things that he did is he wrote an opinion column in the New York Times, and it advocated for sports gambling. And this was revolutionary because nobody of any of the professional sports had done this.
Mm-hmm.
That changed everything because now you had a league that was behind this. They had completely changed their point of view from in 1992 when David Stern was actually testifying against gambling
right.
to 2014 when Adam Silver was
openly saying we want this. And the reason for that is because that the NBA stands to make money off of it, right?
Right, okay. Right, exactly. So what happened today was that this act in 1992, PASPA, which was enacted through the Commerce Clause, basically to make it as easy.
Oh man, I fell asleep. You said Commerce
right,
Clause.
Right. No,
I fell asleep right then. I'm back now.
Okay, so I will say it as simply as I can. So the Commerce Clause, what it does, it says that the United States government, Congress, they can fix things, they can change things, pass bills and all that, mm-hmm. that have to do with interstate commerce, the money that moves in between state to state.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how they were able to pass this bill. This is usually something that states would decide on themselves.
Right.
But they used this act to make this a nationwide ban.
Right.
And nobody had a problem with this at the time, so nobody's challenged it really mm-hmm. until there was this case.
Right.
And so this case came up. It's gone through the courts. Then it was time for the Supreme Court to take it. And so they did. They heard oral arguments sometime in late 2017. Everybody felt like this was going to go the way of the leagues, which actually were now on the other side of it.
Right.
Not necessarily the NCAA, not the NFL, specifically
the NBA.
Yeah, the
NFL hasn't even said anything about it today.
We'll get to that.
Yeah,
we'll
sure.
get to that for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to get to the perspective of all the different
well,
places.
Well, so to get to what happened. So this PASPA thing that I've talked about, the mm-hmm. illegal, that made it illegal across the country minus mm-hmm. the grandfather states, it was found to be unconstitutional. What the Supreme Court said was that now it's up to the individual states to decide whether or not sports gambling is legalized within their borders. This does not mean online gambling is going to be legal or illegal. That is something that's totally separate. Do I think that's coming? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
What this says is that your state can now create legislation, and they can also use that legislation to put it in voters' hands to decide whether or not they want to have sports gambling. So, you know, there are some states that have already been preparing for this. For example, I know Massachusetts is one that's really in the forefront. You've mm-hmm. got West Virginia, New Jersey, obviously.
I said Mississippi earlier.
Mississippi is one, yes.
Wait, it says, no, I'm looking at this Windhorse tweet that talks about four states already having laws in place, being New Jersey, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and MS.
Correct. Yes, Mississippi. Yes. So
what is Massachusetts? What is the abbreviation for Massachusetts?
It's MA,
right?
It's MA, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. I nailed it right. I was right
you
the
did.
First time.
You got it good. Okay.
Okay.
So anyway.
Got it in one.
Yeah. So they've already passed the laws to make this possible. So those are the four states right there that could get this done like quickly.
By NFL season.
Very quick. Yes, definitely. And so listening to Dan,
not that I care.
Listening to Dan Wallach today, who is way smarter than me. I'm a law student. I'm mm-hmm. just trying to grasp it as best I can. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to make it sound like I'm some expert. But
you're exactly what we need, which is someone who is not making these decisions and also isn't a idiot reading tweets.
Right.
You're
right,
perfect.
Right. So thank you. I appreciate it. But so Dan Wallach was saying that he thinks that no more than seven states. I think that was his guess. Mm-hmm. I think it was like give or take one or two.
Uh-huh.
I'll have to talk to him at some point when I can. He says that that's probably about the line of people that are going to be ready within this year.
Got it.
So,
okay.
So that's where we're at right now. So now your state can legalize sports gambling. That is what happened today. For somebody like me, this is a where were you moment. Mm-hmm. I will remember this for the rest of my life. When I woke up, it was like a huge light bulb went off. It mm-hmm. was a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
My phone was blowing up because the amount of economic opportunities are
huge.
Endless.
Huge, yes.
Okay, so I've got some notes, and let me explain. So I got numbers specifically that I don't want to mess up.
Fantastic.
So here's one thing that the NBA and the MLB is working on right now. So the NBA testified earlier this year that they want to instill what's called a 1% integrity fee.
Okay, we have to talk about this.
This is extremely
let's
important.
Let's talk about it now, I guess.
This is really, really important. Okay,
yes.
So what the NBA is saying—
calling it an integrity fee, by the way, is an unbelievable move. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, okay. So what it is basically is that they're saying that they need a certain amount of money to be able to regulate integrity
uh-huh.
within their own sports.
Right.
And you know what? They actually have a good point.
Sure.
It is extremely difficult. And we'll talk about the NCAA in a little bit, but that's a good example of like a sport where it's going to take a lot of resources to be able to monitor that many student athletes. And it's
right.
going to be difficult in the NBA. I mean, they've had issues with the referee in the past and things like that.
Well, what was the 30 for 30 that they did about the college team that was point shaving?
Oh, that was the SMU, right?
Point shaving. Yeah,
I was thinking paying the players. I can't remember. Off the top of my head.
Playing for the Mob, 30
yeah, that
for 30.
One. That one.
Boston College.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So anyway, it's basically everybody understands that maintaining integrity within sports is mm-hmm. one important. It's important for gamblers. Vegas wants the integrity monitor.
Sure,
because
of course.
They're, you know, people are betting against them. They don't
mm-hmm.
want that compromised.
Mm-hmm.
The leagues want it because it's a huge part of their, you know, their popularity,
mm-hmm.
their, you know, how people see public relations. You know,
for sure.
It's important to them. And it's important to the fans because they want to see something that's real to them.
Yes.
So it's probably the number one most important thing for all of these sports. So they need the resources to do this. So what they've been doing right now is the NBA and the MLB is now lobbying in each state that's starting to talk about this legislation,
okay,
which includes Missouri and Kansas. This has been talked about already. They're talking about the same things that New Jersey's already passed, that Mississippi's already passed. They want this integrity fee in their legislation, because mm-hmm. you're going to have to do it state by state.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Before you get to the numbers, because I want to know the difference between Kansas, Missouri, and everywhere else, is there anywhere – I'm trying to understand – where Kansas and Missouri are in the grand scheme of things, with, you know, New Jersey being all the way over
right.
on one end. Is there anyone on the far other end of this? Like, is it even being discussed in Utah? Like,
so here's the thing. Like, there are a lot of states that are going to be against this, and they're going to
uh-huh.
be against it for a long time. South Carolina is a great example. They've been like, no.
Weird. Okay.
It's political.
Right,
it's very
sure.
political.
Right.
In my opinion, I don't understand it. I think that you should definitely want to latch onto this, because it's
sure.
going to be an incredible economic opportunity for our state.
Mm-hmm.
Missouri is farther along than Kansas. That's
right.
the number one thing you want to understand. In my opinion, based on what I know, and again, I want to make sure everybody understands that I'm not a legal expert. I'm a student.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've read, I believe that it's going to come in Missouri much quicker than it is Kansas. But the MLB and the NBA are helping the lobbying effort.
Right. Go ahead and talk about the lobbyists.
Yeah. So the lobbyists, and everybody understands that there's lobbyists in Congress and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, it's a big thing with the NRA, all that kind of stuff. Like, people understand, I think, that lobbyists are important for making things happen in politics.
Yeah.
So the NBA,
they're out there trying to rally support for their cause, whatever
correct.
It may
yes.
be.
Yes,
if
yes,
you're
exactly.
not a big political fan.
So
yeah.
According to an article I read today, there have been 7 lobbyists that have been hired by the NBA and MLB in Missouri, and there's 4 that have been hired for Kansas, and they want that integrity fee passed within the legislation if they are to pass sports gambling, which
okay.
I believe Missouri is going to get there. It's not going to be soon. Everybody needs to kind of calm down.
Right.
About
I need a timeline.
Happen.
I need a timeline on both of these states. Ballpark. I'm not asking for a prediction. I'm not going to hold you to it, but a loose timeline where we say, you know, 7 states might be there for the next NFL season.
Right.
What's your best guess, dart throw, wiggle room as much as you need for Kansas and Missouri?
I think it's going to be a domino effect. I think for sure it's not going to happen in 2018. I'd fall out of my chair if it happened in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be very excited. I don't know that that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
2019, from what I've read, it might also be too early.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely too early for Kansas. It's not happening anytime soon for
right.
them. There was a bill that was introduced by a representative in Olathe. I don't remember who it was necessarily, but I know that it didn't gain much traction.
Mm-hmm.
But it's gaining traction in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Enough so that I know that the MLB has been very active in their lobbying efforts there, because they've got 2 teams there.
Right,
they've
that makes sense.
The MLB especially, because they've got the Royals and they've got the Cardinals. So they have incentive to do this.
Right.
So, but Kansas, I mean, we don't have a team. So
right.
the incentive
That's
isn't...
actually really interesting. I hadn't considered that.
Exactly.
And also, like, and the NFL's not involved in this. Are Major League Baseball and the NBA working together? You've talked about the 2 of them.
They are. They
okay.
are, yes. Yes. And I think the reason that they're doing that is because they've been a little more progressive recently, because they see the economic opportunity.
Yeah,
here.
For sure. And that's actually something that, for as much bleep as we give Major League Baseball, that's something that the MLB has been good at. The MLB has been good at revenue opportunities.
Absolutely.
That's why they still function.
Well, they have to be.
Work.
Yeah,
right.
they absolutely have to be. Yeah, and it's really important for them. And so
interesting.
They were the second group to latch onto this. This integrity fee was basically brought on by the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
They were the ones that announced it.
Right.
Then the MLB latched onto it and said, yes, we agree with this, which is, I feel like everybody should do this, right?
Right.
Like, here's the problem. The NFL has not latched themselves onto this at all.
Right.
They have not made – they're against gambling. They've said that. They've said that moving to Las Vegas.
Right, they're sending a team to Vegas.
Right. They said when this move was made, they said this does not change our stance
mm-hmm.
on the legalization of sports gambling
mm-hmm.
and our views on sports gambling.
Mm-hmm.
So – they have certain rules that are in place. People can argue whether or not they follow those rules strictly when it comes to, you know, like, for example, they had of their board of representatives. There were a lot of casino people involved with
mm-hmm.
the move. So people can, you know, decide what you want about that. You know, I'm not saying anything against the NFL at all.
Snipers aren't around the building anymore. We got rid of them before you got here today, actually. We did a clean sweep.
Right, but basically, they're a little further behind than the MLB and the NBA, who have been
NHL
more progressive
also
on this.
Not saying anything, or...
Well, first of all, when I wrote my... I wrote a 10,000-word paper on this 2-3 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
or whatever it was, and
Can you still like turn that in? Like, does that still get graded as is, or do you have to just?
It's getting graded as is.
Okay, I was like,
because so the day before it was due was the first time that it could have possibly gone. So I was so scared.
Oh my goodness!
Of that happening, I was like the day before I had this big paper due, and I was like, you know what? I hope my teacher didn't find out about it.
Just gonna turn it in
and pretend that this is, you know. It was funny the way I didn't really understand like how to write it because I was so confident that this was going to happen.
Right.
That like I was writing this paper as if, you know, when this happens, not
right,
if.
Right.
And so they could have totally just voted against this and just like, we don't talk about this anymore. Right.
Right.
But they didn't. They did exactly what we expected them to do.
I'm glad you didn't have 10,000 words lit on fire.
It was actually 9,976. I met the 10,000 maximum. So we're just under.
The maximum.
There was
a maximum,
yes.
Thank goodness you slid under the maximum.
Yeah, and
I'm glad you came in for a whole hour. I'm glad we didn't try to do this in 1 second.
Yeah. So anyway, I it was fun. But yeah.
Okay, so the NHL, I wanted to hear about the NHL thing, where the NHL is in the process.
Uh-huh.
And you we ended up talking about your paper.
Right.
Where's the NHL in the process and juxtaposed to the other leagues? Are they into this at all?
They also
have a team in Vegas already.
What I was getting into very quickly was that the NHL is probably going to be on board with this. I'm sure they need the money. I hadn't done as much research in the NHL. It was kind of my point of what I was trying to get to.
Got it.
The NCAA, they're the important ones in terms of when you're talking about other teams.
Okay.
They outright disagree with this.
Right.
However, they have not lobbied for anything. They have not lobbied for, like, they have not done anything in preparation of this to where they're trying to lobby for some sort of, like, amateur exception where you can't bet on college. They haven't done that yet.
They're not, okay, good.
They have not done that yet, but that doesn't mean that they won't. And my guess, just educated guess, that might be the next step for them. I know that they want this illegalized. It compromises amateur sports. I totally understand that. They're going to want that to be the case. But my opinion's always been, and my question, does that give a competitive edge to offshore gambling sites that do offer college sports?
Right.
Is it a legal avenue?
It seems like part of the perk of this from the Supreme Court's perspective, not from the league's perspective, but from the Supreme Court's perspective, and also for the leagues with this integrity fee,
right?
Is that you almost eliminate or you significantly shrink down the black market of gambling online.
Well, do you? Here's the thing. We legalize betting within states.
Mm-hmm.
What we did not do is overturn the 1961 Wire Act, which tells you that I can't call up. I'm sure everybody that's listening to me has done this. I'm not saying I have, and I haven't. I really haven't. I don't bet on sports.
Right.
But it's illegal for you to call up your dad in Vegas and say, put money on the Chiefs to win.
Right.
That's
not legal. Don't ever do that.
Right, exactly. That's,
because it's the Chiefs.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's called interstate gambling.
Okay.
That's not legal. And so that's where online comes in because we're, you know, whether it be peer-to-peer gambling, where we're gambling with each other, offshore gambling sites, like that's still technically illegal according to the 1961 Wire Act. However, The Justice Department said, I think in 2011, that sports are an exemption to this. So I think it's still kind of a murky area.
Right.
So what needs to happen is that these legislations need to specifically state that online gambling is legal within their state. So within each individual state, once that happens, then you can get the ball rolling there. This is what the NBA wants. They want you to be able to go to a kiosk. They want you to be able to do it on apps. That's the future. Exactly.
We got to take a break. Stop on the future because if I would have had to talk about this by myself, I would have started where you were driving us, but I wouldn't have just had the last 20 minutes of actually explaining what any of this means. So that works out very well. We got to take a break. Johnny Carver's here for the whole hour telling us ways to be smarter about this conversation, and then whenever we get back, we're going to bring our crystal ball out, just plop it on the desk here, and we're going to tell you about the future.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Doing promos, that's easy. I'm a talented broadcaster. Shut up.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Gambling. We could do that. We could branch that show off. We could do it now, and it wouldn't feel like we were existing under, like, a bridge. This is now out in the light. you know who I am. It would be weird for me to introduce myself, but I almost did. The person that I do need to reintroduce, because he's not here on a daily basis. He's never in this dang building. He's barely ever in the state. Johnny Carver, thank you for being here with us for this hour and making this show smarter and hopefully making all of us together smarter.
Appreciate it.
So whenever we went to break last time, we just stopped on what I think is the precipice of the most interesting part of this conversation, which is what does this look like in the future? We've talked about how we got here. We talked about what sort of set the stage for the Supreme Court ruling, what the court ruling means, the fact that it doesn't mean that everything is now legal in your state, that the states have to handle all of the actual legalization on their own. But now the path is clear. The path has never been clearer in the modern era for states to legalize sports gambling on a state-to-state basis, correct?
Right, yes.
So as this is something that we think unfolds over years, some states will have, like we talked about, you know, between 4 and maybe 10 states, probably in the middle there, have it by this NFL season. Then it's a domino effect, like you said earlier.
Right.
As the dominoes fall, the thing I'm most interested in is what does this look like on a very practical and even physical level? Also, I do eventually want to hear what this is going to mean economically. We'll get to that at some point
of course,
today also.
Yes.
But what does this look like? You said two words that have been the ones bouncing around in my heads all day. My heads? I only have one. Been bouncing around in my head all day. Two words: kiosks and apps.
Yes.
And this to me feels like the future. Tell me about it.
So the NBA has already looked into a lot of this. They want to capitalize on this economically, and they have every right to. And
sure,
we can get into the numbers later, what this looks like. I think that a lot of people are making predictions that don't really understand how much it's going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is something that our generation, you and I,
yep,
has latched onto a lot more than the previous generation.
Yep.
I mean, they used to, like, this was a shady business a long time ago. This was a mob deal. This mm-hmm. is now something that's commercialized, so the opportunities are virtually endless because everybody has a sports opinion. You know, that's
yep.
that's kind of what this show's about.
That's what
you know.
Literally, that this building we're in right now is built upon that fact that everyone has a sports opinion.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And not only do you, everybody who's listening,
yep.
everybody that you know, your grandma, your daughter, whatever,
yep.
everybody has that. So they want to monetize that. Everybody
mm-hmm.
wants to, you know, capitalize. That's why people fill out brackets. They want to be right.
Yep.
So
fantasy
is,
teams, brackets.
Right. So where does this
water
go?
Cooler conversations.
Where it goes is I think that the most important thing for this is that it's got to be legalized and totally available for online, doing this on your phone, smartphones, apps. That's, I think, where most of the money is going to come from.
Can I step in on this and give you my
yes,
thought on this? Again, We ended up not talking about this as much earlier on because I wanted to be able to have you. I want you to tell me if I say something dumb or wrong.
You haven't yet.
Right. In the history of this show, he means. For me, the thought is I don't think I ever would have started playing fantasy football if I would have had to have gotten in a room with 9 of my friends to print out a bunch of names and put them on whiteboards and then calculate our own stats on the backs of newspapers on a Monday morning. I don't think I ever would have started playing fantasy football that way. Now, if I had to do that, I don't know if I would. But everything exists through my phone. Everything exists through an app. I can access things instantaneously. I get instant feedback. I get instant scoring. I get instant engagement. The taking out of the effort between the two, for me, would make the gambling experience so much more likely. If I can be, especially if I can do it in an arena, which sounds like fun.
Right.
But at home watching the Red Zone channel, if I can be engaged through my cell phone as opposed to having to go to a brick and mortar location, the floodgates open.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
If you talked about with fantasy football, you wouldn't want to have to get out a board and do it on paper or anything.
I don't think I ever would have started. Yeah.
Now, would you do that at a casino? Would you go to a casino and they have all these fancy electronic boards
right.
and you sit at a desk
mm-hmm.
and you feel like you're in your own individual draft.
Yes.
Like, how cool would that be?
No, that also would be great.
Right.
To have those things automated around you. Yes.
Have you been to Vegas before?
No.
Okay. So basically the way Vegas works is that every casino has their own sports book.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the coolest thing. I just love sitting in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't bet sports. Mm-hmm. Never have. Never will. It's just mm-hmm. not my thing. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, you know, I would like to go about other ways. Plus, I've been involved with teams individually.
Sure.
So
right.
It's not my thing. But I love being inside of a sports book because, one, you got people that know sports better than anyone else because
mm-hmm.
their money's on it.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you have a lot of big screens.
Mm-hmm.
Three, there's a lot of free food.
Not all so, good things. These are all exciting
and free drinks for people that drink. So, like, that's something that's what it looks like in Vegas.
Yeah.
You're not betting online in Vegas. You're going in for the experience.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing that. You have to walk up to a kiosk and you have to say, I want to bet on X.
Mm-hmm.
And they give you the odds and you bet it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it works in Vegas. Basically, what they're saying now is that you can do what you do there in the states that legislate that you can do it.
This also sounds like a very good time.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, but what you're saying is that, you know, your phone makes it easier.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Does that create exponential amount of opportunities economically? Yes. But is it a requirement in order for this to be successful?
No.
That's what I would say.
For me, my thought is the easier you can make that for the public, the better as far as for the casino or the sport,
right.
If they're getting a cut of it and all of that. No, the idea of being able to go to a place and have that experience, you know, in downtown Kansas City on either side of the border or whatever, seems like an absolute no-brainer.
Oh, yeah.
It opens up so many avenues for just a really good time.
Oh, absolutely.
In fact, it seems like that eventually, ooh, I don't know, I hadn't even thought of this until just now, that might be bad news for people going to sporting events. It would make a lot of sense. Like, people stay at home for the Red Zone channel.
So here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad if you're at sporting events unless you can bet at the games.
This, right, the kiosk.
So that's where the kiosks
yeah.
and
okay,
the smartphones come in. So this is what the teams want to do. They want to be able to expand this experience to when you're actually at the game.
Which makes so much sense.
Absolutely, because then you go to the game and you feel like you're a part of it. So
mm-hmm.
let's use football as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say that this was legalized with the Raiders. Let's say that you could bet at a kiosk. It's the second quarter. Your team's down by 8 points.
Mm-hmm.
You feel very confident that they're going to come back. All you got to do is go out just like you're going to get a hot dog. And instead of buying the hot dog for $5, you put $5 on them beating the second or third quarter spread.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
That is something that people feel a part of. That is something that keeps them in the seats.
Yes. I think that would be amazing. Now, I don't know. Would leagues want to try to confine that somehow? Would they want to be able to keep? Would they want to keep people from being able to do that from their house? Like, is this? Do you have a movie pass, or do you know about movie pass?
I know a lot about it. Yes,
you can't check into a theater unless you're within 100 yards of the theater because they don't want you to be able to buy your ticket online and then never go.
Yeah,
because it's at no cost
to
you.
Of course.
Do teams want to keep you from being able to bet from your couch?
I have not heard anything like that.
Okay.
But like I said, there are some leagues that are more progressive than others.
Right, sure.
Now, all of these leagues have been involved with daily fantasy sports, and we can talk about whether that's actually gambling or not.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote about that a little bit throughout the year.
Is it gambling?
Yeah. Is it gambling? Yeah, exactly. Like,
is it? I want your answer. It is, right? Is it not gambling? It's sports and money colliding. You're putting money into I like these sports things.
According to the courts in New York.
This is whenever Johnny's too much. He's too law boy. He's too much of a law boy. Go ahead.
According to the courts in New York, no, it is not. Do I think that
Fine.
That is a little bit, what's the word for it? It's a little hypocritical. Also, I don't have a problem with it. Listen, I don't really care. Like, if you want to bet on individual players, great. If you want to bet on teams, great. I think it's all a part of the same experience.
But betting on teams is gambling. Betting on individual players is not gambling. I don't know. Okay,
yeah, good. I know.
Right.
That's
Thank you, New York.
That's what it comes down to, basically.
Yeah, okay.
Like,
all right, interesting.
I think that, you know, they always say that, like, you're allowed to, basically the gist of, like, gambling legislation says that you're not allowed to do it unless if it, like, it creates your own, like, you're doing something
mm-hmm.
that involves skill. I think betting on sports is one of the most difficult things.
Oh, yes.
I mean, in order to be a professional gambler, you have to be at 60%.
Yeah.
You would be surprised how few people can get 60% of lines just in the NFL season.
Yes.
I tracked myself. At one point, I was just like, I just tracked it on my phone, just would, like, take notes,
mm-hmm.
right? And I was like around, I was hovering around 59 to 61. So I was like, wow, I'm really good at this. And then like week 7 happened and wow, I got every single one wrong.
Yep,
and then I'm not good at it anymore.
Yep, it's incredible.
And the only reason I did that was just to understand how difficult it would be to be a sports gambler, like, yes, like a professional. Because everybody thinks they got the right sports opinion. And people ask me as if I understand lines. I don't. I understand basketball, but things just happen. Mm-hmm. Like this is not necessarily gambling advice, but like, you never know what's going to happen, whether it be the playoffs, definitely the NCAA tournament. When you create chaotic environments, different levels of fatigue, injuries we don't know about, injuries that aren't discussed, whatever it is, it's a very difficult thing to do, but people like doing it.
Yep. And it's also, it makes so much sense as an industry because, like, I was thinking about this just driving in today. Like, I have no interest in going and playing a bunch of, like, slots or whatever. This feels like just putting money in a thing and then hoping it works out. I'm not good enough at poker. Of the games that involve skill. I'm not good at any of those things.
Right.
I think I understand the NFL pretty well by about week 6 every NFL season.
Yep.
So by week 7, I'm probably feeling like, you know what? I think I know that the Jets are going to lose this game by more than 4.5.
You know what's interesting though? John Doe that lives in New York might feel differently.
Totally.
So this is what's interesting. Will they legalize peer-to-peer gambling where you can make a bet?
Oh, interesting.
Where you can make a bet with somebody that feels just as strongly the opposite way.
Huh.
And we do this with everything else, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have games where we play each other on the internet. We can play each other in Words with Friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can play each other in video games.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we bet with each other?
No,
so peer-to-peer gambling is something that I know the NBA has addressed this and said that they would be interested in. That's where I think the biggest opportunities come, because if you can like set your own lines and gamble with each other, there's a lot of issues with it. I mean, there's tons that they're too, you know, up there to really
That's
go into on the radio.
Though.
But I think that that is something that people need to really focus on.
I hadn't thought about that at all. My point on me always being sure the Jets are going to lose that game by more than 4.5. They never do. But that's how it works. You can feel like you have a grip on something, and you can find that you don't, and it surprises no one ever. Like,
right. And here's another thing to understand, too. The books in Vegas are not necessarily making their money on sports gambling like you think they are. Like, it's not as much. What sports gambling does is it brings people into the casinos.
Mm-hmm.
They're making more money because their odds are a little better on other games.
Interesting.
So
you come into the casino to bet on sports, you go over and
lose
the
slots. Exactly. So you are betting on sports, but at the same time, you've got that video poker machine
right
there, and you're putting money into it, and then you're buying drinks, and you're buying food. And
interesting.
That, unless if there are big bets, and that happens a lot in boxing, where you'll see, like, in like the Super Bowl, that's a big one.
Right.
There are big events that bring in money, but I think I heard, and I don't want to get the number wrong, I think it's like $4 million swings a week.
Mm.
And so, like, for a casino, that's not huge.
You know,
they're big businesses, right?
Yeah.
So they're not making their money as much on having people bet on the sports themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's the experience, and it's what you're doing when you get into the casino. And I think that's going to be important for people to understand, too, that you're not just creating businesses that are based on sports gambling in of itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the experience, the advertisements they're exposed to, the food that they're eating while they're doing it, how can you make sports gambling interesting?
Right. Let's talk about it then, where the money is coming from and where it goes. You say, you know, the casinos are making money on the experience around it. How do states make money whenever it comes to legalizing the gambling here, other than like tourism dollars? Let's say it gets to a point where eventually 35 states have legalized gambling, and there's not a whole lot. No one's making a road trip to Colorado because they've got it, you know, in their own home state in most places. How do states make money? What's the economic growth that a state can have by legalizing sports gambling?
It's the same thing with everything else. It's like when you buy a cigarette, you pay tax.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you do, you pay tax, right? So that's where it comes from. Nevada makes most of their money off of tourism.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to fly to West Virginia to bet on a game?
No.
Okay, most people won't.
No.
So the tourism impact, I don't think is going to be huge, other than, let's say...
But I would drive to Missouri.
Exactly. So that's where I'm getting to.
Okay.
So so I went to Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot... I am in contact with a lot of people that like sports gambling.
Mm-hmm.
And they like gambling in general. They would go across the border to Oklahoma, which is about an hour away, and they would go gamble at casinos there because the age was 18.
Yep.
So I know that people are willing to drive to do something that they really want to do.
Yes, that's a great distinction.
But I don't think that people are going to fly into, let's say, Montana or
Agreed.
Whatever.
Agreed.
They're not, I don't think that that's the thing. Unless if they can come up with something that's like, oh, you're at like a resort and the resort,
maybe.
You know.
But even like, but Mick, drive, maybe I'm trying to think of what the outer limits of it would be.
Right.
You've got a weekend of college and then NFL football.
Uh-huh.
You get off at 5 on Friday. You know what? Me and a few buds, maybe we make a 3 or 4 hour road trip.
Right.
And we go spend, make a weekend of it, come back Sunday night, mm-hmm. and, you know, lick our wounds on the way back.
Right.
I think that's probably the reasonable outer limit. A 3 or 4 hour trip.
But you're talking short term here.
Yes.
What we want to talk about, I think, in my opinion, is long term.
Because yes. I see a
world where this is legal in every state.
Okay.
And I see it happening sooner rather than later. And I'm talking 5, 10 years down the line.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that it's going to become prevalent enough that when you go to Buffalo Wild Wings or I'm not going to use a specific company. I understand.
It's funny. It's funny watching the beards. I don't know if you're picking this up. It's funny finding the things that you think, oh God, should I not have done that?
Yeah.
Or like you wanting to clarify that you are like a law student and not like a legal god.
Right.
Because like this sports radio is so reckless.
Yeah.
You are in an aquarium surrounded by sharks.
Right.
And there's also just like pieces of meat flying around, and you're just you're like a I'm dying also.
Want me to take over?
No, you're a piece of algae.
Yeah,
just kind of floating. Like, oh man, these sharks are gonna. I said Buffalo Wild Wings.
Well, okay, I didn't necessarily. I meant like restaurants in general, or like really anything else. Like,
it's Buffalo Wild Wings branding. You know, I'll say Buffalo Wild Wings.
Okay, you can say that. That's fine.
You just need to tell me when I need to say something for you. And
I was like, you know, I don't want to give anybody an idea.
I know.
Say
you,
that
you let
they
me.
Know
you let me. You let me know whenever you
anyway,
say something that I need to say. For
anyway,
you.
So what I'm trying to get at is that like it's going to become very prevalent in our sports viewing experience, and our sports viewing experience is a big part of our life.
For sure.
You know what we do when we're in church on Sunday? We check the scores under our legs, do we not?
Mm-hmm.
I do. I'm just being honest.
Like, I stand up actually and do it with no shame.
Do I look under my leg sometimes to see like what happened during the trade deadline when I'm in class? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I do. I'm not saying I don't. I'm saying I do.
You are 100% saying that you do.
Exactly. So like, yes, we're paying attention all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Sports is extremely prevalent in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So in my opinion, when this becomes prevalent, it's not as much about that road trip you talked about.
Mm-hmm.
It's about our trip down the street. It's about what we do on our phones.
Right.
Like you said, it's about what we can do laying in bed before we wake up. If you can find a way to get people to buy something without moving, that is extremely valuable.
That's a great way to think about it, because I'm making roster changes on Sunday morning in bed. I'm going, oh, you know what?
So do I.
This Duke Johnson has a matchup here that I'm a fan of, so I'm going to make this change. Or you're doing roster moves right after waivers clear at 3 a.m. on a Wednesday. Being able to do that with actual money and also in a way where you feel like you have some control over it makes all the sense in the world.
Okay, so what you just said is really important, because when fantasy sports has had a great impact, particularly on football,
mm-hmm.
because during the week at school, remember when you were like in high school and
mm-hmm.
all that kind of stuff? What'd you guys talk about? You talked about football,
100%.
Fantasy. Yeah, and so that's where this comes in. It
makes me wonder about the NFL. Isn't more? Well, we can talk about the NFL more.
Yeah, and we can. But like, my point to this is, it really increases the conversation. It increases the reason to view the Thursday game
mm-hmm.
that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It increases the conversation about these sports. That is why I believe that they should particularly latch on to this.
Yeah.
Because it's free branding. No matter what, your event is being talked about.
That's
because people have money on it.
Yeah.
When people have money on it, they want to talk about it.
All right, we're going to take a break and then come back and close up shop. Johnny, maybe I'll let you try to give me a couple of reasons that something will gum up the works. I'm curious to know if there's any reason for us to slow our excitement. And if not, that's great as well. And if we clear that rope, then we'll come up with something else to talk about for the last few minutes. Thanks again for being in here and for telling us all the things we need to know, while also being very careful to not disrespect any large-scale chicken or sports-based businesses.
Yep, no problem.
It's a level of care to potential sponsors of the station, for all I know. I Very likely.
And this show.
Could absolutely be in this next commercial break. Is there a Buffalo Wild Wings commercial in this next break, Beards?
No.
Then we are good.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
What Steph Curry is doing is entirely different. We've seen LeBron and a lot of other players try to do what he's doing. He's doing it better than anybody else ever has. But so Steph Curry's novelty in his MVP-ness.
With Joshua Briscoe.
That was a terrible phrase. That's real bad. Dang it.
On ESPN Kansas City.
MVP. Ness.
Hang on, I just realized I made a mistake.
You did. You did make a mistake. I was going to let it go because I was already overwhelmed with, not shame per se, but a reminder of the past. That was a long time ago. That was one of the first days that I was actually like talking on radio. I came out with a bang. Very good. Steve, by the way, who I was just telling Johnny about during the break, because we're talking about Facebook Live and the podcast and how we make the show reach people, tweeted at me and said, "Enjoying the gambling chat. Fascinating to listen to the discussion on something that's been completely legal here since before I was born. Thanks, at Carver Johnny." So that, Steve, is who we were just talking about during the commercial break.
Yeah, and he actually made a good point. The fact that Europe has done this for a long time, yeah, especially with European soccer, like, it's been a thing for a very, very long time. And that we could... I could have a whole show with you where we talk about how you could turn, you know, the gambling into like a version of the stock market where you could buy stocks on players, that kind of stuff. Like
that. Oh, that sounds so fun!
Yeah, like that's.
Can you explain that idea in 2 minutes?
I can explain it in like 30 seconds.
Please, even better.
Basically, there are different things out there in the UK, and I don't quite understand it on a higher level than average people.
That's fine. I've never heard of this.
Okay, so basically, the idea is that like you could have like an E-Trade online, but it's specifically about sports,
okay,
right? So like, oh, I really like the Giants this year. I'm going to buy their stock, you know, like online or whatever.
I want this more than I've ever wanted anything.
Yeah, you think? Yeah, that's a version of gambling, isn't it?
But
at the same time, yeah. So like, you just get rid of the stock market and you just do it with sports. And all of a sudden,
put your 401k on your favorite teams, but I love this idea.
Well, no, you put it in a mutual fund, so you've got the Giants, you've got the, you know, you've got a
yes,
whole portfolio, right?
Yes.
Like, so, you know.
And you're going to have people managing it for you and stuff, that's what I'm
saying. Of course, yeah. And you have sports experts that manage your portfolio. Exactly. Like, that's something that I think could evolve from this someday.
Have you heard of this, Beards?
I have not.
Is that the coolest thing?
Yeah.
This is weird.
I love this idea.
It's actually an idea that I believe started in Switzerland. I know that that's something that
would make
sense. Have a United States trademark. Yeah. So anyway, they have a trademark on this, and it's something, I don't know exactly where it's from, but it's something that's very interesting.
Oh my goodness. That's fascinating. I don't want to say I feel like we just wasted the last hour, but I feel like we just wasted the last hour. I want to do this now. I want to learn about, I guess, European soccer enough to play that.
Don't buy too much stock in Pat Mahomes, right?
I would sell my car to buy Patrick Mahomes stock. Okay, give me 30 seconds on what Brad Stevens is doing. I don't understand the Boston Celtics.
Okay, well, nobody understands them because Brad Stevens is the best coach in the NBA. It's
probably spicy.
And look, I'm not saying that to disrespect any other coach, but like, I'm just talking.
Why do you hate Greg Popovich? Why do you piss on his grave? He's okay. Alive.
Listen, I love Greg Popovich.
I'm just saying specifically
about like the
kiss Brad Stevens right in the face.
The strategy within the game is extremely important, and so like within the last 2 minutes, every time they come out of a timeout, they score.
Right.
It's unbelievable. Some of the sets I've seen from them, they had one with Al Horford where like they just had everybody run one way, they had a pin down for him,
right,
he scored a layup. They just do that kind of stuff, and that's what's happening.
Why are the Cavaliers so bad around LeBron? Are they just bad? Is it just all bad players? Is it Kevin Love is an okay player, and then it's just no one's?
It's hard being over the cap. It's so hard to be over the cap. Not having that kind of flexibility is extremely difficult.
All right, what happens in the Cavs-Celtics series?
I think the Cavs win in six.
Ooh, in six?
I do.
Oh, over the best coach in the history of basketball, which is what I'm pretty sure you just said? Over the best coach in the history of all sports?
The Cavs have LeBron.
Oh!
It's that simple.
Oh, it's so spicy. Okay, Johnny, we got to talk again sometime during the NBA playoffs because I like being able to ask you questions and you have answers that I don't understand or didn't think about yet. But we're out of time. because we spent time talking about interesting things. But I love this stock market thing so much. All right, follow Johnny on Twitter, at Carver Johnny. Buy his book in 3 years and then vote for him in for president in, I don't know, 22? Thanks, Johnny.
Appreciate it.
Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.